It's different. Hi, I'm Rhiannon. I'm an addict.
Hi, Rhiannon.
I don't know. I'm just going to take a second to get out of the way. That kind of threw me off for a minute, if you don't mind. Thank you. Okay. You know, when you just said hope, I was just sitting here and feeling like really, you know, I don't know. I have a disease that, you know, all the time still talks to me and tells me that I'm like less than and I'm not good enough and I don't have a message to carry. And I know that's a lie. And, you know, with this topic, I'm taking this off because I'll keep playing with it. Recovering relapse, like, when I think about that, I think about I have a choice. And every day when I wake up, I have a choice. I can choose recovery or I can choose relapse. And, you know, like getting up in the morning and like, you know, hitting my knees is, you know, so I think to myself, like right now I'm thinking like the hope and the recovery process for me and like what do I do to stay in recovery? You know, and the first thing every morning is like I wake up and I pray and I ask for help. And I've been doing that literally since like the first time, the first day I got here. My clean date is 10/26/06. And I'm just saying that to tell you that like if I could stay here one day at a time, like anybody can. Because when I got here, I was hopeless. And I had no hope. I didn't know like how I was going to stay. I didn't know what. All I knew was that this time, like I was willing and I was ready. And that's at the point where like everything changed and I knew that I was willing to do whatever it took. So I'm just going to share a little bit briefly like about like my past experiences trying to get here. Like I'm not going to talk about using, but what I am going to tell you is like I got clean in 06, but prior to that, like I had been in and out of the rooms for like probably 6 or 7 years. And I'd come to meetings and I'd stay here for, I don't know, you know, 30, 60 days, and I would get a sponsor, but I would not call her. I wouldn't call women. I wouldn't pray. I wouldn't get a home group, you know, and I couldn't stay clean. And I couldn't understand why, because honestly, like, I'll tell you that, like, at that point, like, I had the desire to stay clean, but I just didn't understand that I was the problem. You know, like, I thought that if I put down the drugs and, like, came to a meeting, like, I would be okay. And I truly understand now, the longer that I stay here, that that is so not true. You know, I read a little bit last night and just picked up the, you know, the text and was reading over recovery and relapse, and it says in there something along the lines of like anybody who lives this program won't relapse. And that's awesome to me. Like that sentence gives me so much hope. So you mean to tell me if I do pretty much everything that my sponsor and my predecessors tell me that I'll stay clean? So with that being said, like this time I was willing to do that. You know, I didn't do everything perfectly by any means. You know, at one point I had a really hard time coming in here and sharing brutally honestly with people about what was going on with me. And like, you know, I got not real close, but at points through this journey close to maybe using if I would have continued down, because I understand now like it's about behaviors, emotions, and feelings, man. Like that's what this all comes down to for me. You know, people, places, and things, you know, that pretty much is like, you know, ingrained in me. Like I don't go to, you know, I don't hang out with people, I don't go to places, and I don't mess with things, you know, but right now it's just like trying to manage my feelings and get through feelings without hurting people and harming myself and not getting myself in like bad situations and learning how to, you know, open up and stay here, you know. So I think about what do I do to stay in recovery and not relapse, you know. Like I said, like I get up every day and I pray and I ask for help and I read the Just for Today like every morning. It's something that I do. And, you know, right now I'm back into like writing a gratitude list every morning. It's something that my sponsor had me do a long time ago when I was like beating myself down on a 6-step. And I'm doing that again. Like I make a conscious effort to call a recovering addict every day. I'm just going to share with you briefly, like I just moved to a new area. I got clean up in Newcastle in 06 and like went to a halfway house and stayed up there, and like I had a foundation up there, and I got clean up there, and that's where I learned how to live, and that's where my journey started. And then I just moved back to Pittsburgh like 2 months ago, and I had to start over fresh, like completely fresh, in a new area, new women, you know, new meetings, new home group, which I didn't get right away, and like I felt really disconnected. And you know, this disease once again was like creeping in and you know, talking to me and telling me that I was like less than and I didn't fit in here, and like I had to fight just like I did with 30 days clean, man. And I'm still doing that. Like I'm still calling women. I go to meetings down there and I'm uncomfortable sometimes, and it's the lie. It's the lie that lives in my head, and it tells me that, you know, that I'm not, you know, that click stuff. And it's really not it. It's just like, that's where I was going with this. And I just believe that, like, it's different groups of people. Like, we are a whole, and, like, this is my home. And I, like, I deserve to be at any meeting just as much as anybody else. And, like, I felt like I wasn't worthy enough to raise my hand to sponsor or, like, to go up to hug girls. So I was really self-seeking, and I got really caught up real quick, and my disease was just coming in at me and coming in at me, and it had me so gripped up. And the final, and then I started using everything to make me feel better. You know, I'm sure everybody could relate to that. You know, men, you know, everything else under the sun, that, you know, to try to make me feel better. And it talks about that in the recovering relapse. Like, we try everything. Sex, money, change hair, jobs, homes. Like, we try it all to come to the end to find out that it's, we're still not satisfied. You know what I mean? And, you know, and, you know, the longer I stay here, the more that, like, the cotton and everything, smoke's just, like, lifting off my eyes. And I felt like, you know, I'd get here and I would change everything overnight and everything was going to be great. And the bottom line, like, my life is awesome, but it's not always easy, you know? I have to, like, continue to ask for help and continue to come here and, like, share about what's going on with me. And I think another thing that, you know, I was just looking at this the other day, like, you know, I sponsor a lot of girls and I'm all about giving back, but, like, sometimes my disease will tell me that I don't have to do anything else that day because I've done so much for everybody else. And, like, that's not the truth, man. Like, I gotta take care of me so I can help other people, because then I start to feel like I have all the answers, you know, and I got this, and then I'm shaming people, and I'm shaking my head, and, you know, I just don't want to, like, be in that place, because that's where the relapse comes, you know. Like, I see so many people, you know, go out, you know, around, like, you know, after, like, 7-8 years, that we always talk about this, like, where's the people with 7-8 years and beyond, because, like, I see people with clean timelines, and it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then I don't see anybody. I mean, there's a couple in there, and that scares me. And, like, I want to hold on. Like, so what do I do to stay in recovery? I wake up every morning. I pray. I call another recovering addict. I go to a home group, and I go every week, and I show up early, no matter how much clean time I have. I go early, and I show up. I hug girls at the door. I give out my phone number. You know, I pick newcomers up. I call them back. You know, even if I don't want to, you know, I think that's huge for me. Like, you know, remembering where I came from, you know, staying connected and working steps is why I'm here. You know, like, every other time prior, like, I wouldn't work steps and nothing would change. Like, that's where the change is. And I look back at the last 5.5 years of my life, and I'm like, wow, it's all the steps. Like, this isn't me, and it's me doing the footwork, and it's you guys, and it's my higher power. But, like, that's where the change is coming in. Like, that's how I stay here. Like, I know that I could never just come to Narcotics Anonymous and sit at a meeting once a day and stay clean. It's just not going to happen. Because I have a disease that wants to kill me, and it's in here. Mine doesn't sit outside and wait for me. It's right here. Like, I wish I had that luxury. Give me a break for an hour, please. You know what I mean? But it doesn't do that. Like, mine is with me 24 hours a day. It's with me when I sleep. It's in my dreams, you know, and I always tell people, like, that is so powerful to me. Like, I have something that talks to me while I'm sleeping. So, I got to treat this thing, and I got to do work to stay here. Like, if I want freedom, I got to do work. I just can't come here and sit around and act out and sleep around and do this and do that and, like, act out on the lifestyle and everything else and stay clean, because eventually I'll get high. You know what I mean? Like, I've been in some pain in here, and, like, it was self-inflicting, and I did it to myself. But I always get to a point thank God that I get to a point where I like, no, I'm like, okay, this is scary, you know, like you're too close. And, you know, there's been many times where I felt like I was using clean, you know, and I'm too scared. Like, I don't forget my last day, and I don't forget what it was like, you know, and I hope that I never do. And I'm not saying that I, like, again, I'm perfect or that I'm not capable of doing things or, you know, because I am, but I just know that's what I have to do for recovery. Like I said, I need to pray. I need to keep in touch with my sponsor. Like, I make it a point to call my sponsor every single week, like, no matter what's going on. Like, even if there's not, and I probably should call her more than that, but it's just a matter of me staying connected and in contact with her, you know? I definitely have used her more this last year than I ever have. You know, staying with women, like, it was really hard for me. I was just sharing with somebody last week because she was like, I just don't, you know, women and blah, blah. I was like, listen, I get it. You know, like, I could be around a whole group of women and not feel the same way I do as if I'm with, like, an intimate partner. I get it. But I understand now that, like, the relationships I've built in here with women, I've never dreamed that I could feel this way and this comfortable with women. And I believe that that's why I've, like, stayed here in recovery, because I'm honest with them. They've saved my life. Like, they've helped me stay here. You know, like, the mask has to go. Like, I just, this last year, like, I've worked, you know, with my sponsor and, like, being honest with her and just, like, brutally honest about how I'm feeling, what I was doing. Because, listen, I kept some stuff to myself for a little while. I'm like, I, again, got real close to, like, relapsing. So I just know, for me, like, wake up every morning, pray, read the Just for Today, get to a meeting. If I can't get to a meeting, like, if I have 10 minutes to kill in an afternoon, I pick up some literature. You know, like, it's just the little things, because I understand, again, that this thing is not going anywhere. And I, like, again, I got to do work to stay here. Like, how bad do I want this? Like, how bad do I want freedom from active addiction? Because, again, like, this thing's in here. You know what I mean? And I've watched the movie, and I've watched this thing, like, grip people up, and, like, it's taken months and months and months of behaviors, and then eventually, like, they're just gone, and that scares the crap out of me. We just buried a friend last week, you know, and it always takes something profound like that to happen for everybody to sit around in a group setting and be like, man, you know, and... But the bottom line is, like, this is about life or death. And sometimes I forget that when I'm at a meeting and we're fellowshipping, like, on a weekend like this. Like, this is amazing. Like, whoever thought that we could come out on an afternoon like this? Because there's people on a Saturday afternoon, like today, out there trying to find ways and means, man. And it's just, like, I never thought that this was possible. But, like, this is really about life or death. It really is. And, you know, I'm fighting today, not as hard as I was in the first 30 days, but I am. Like, I, you know, I do this stuff because it's an honor to do this, and it's a privilege. And, like, you know, again, like, this is what I have to do to stay here. You know, I can't say no to Narcotics Anonymous. Like, I'm going to tell you, when I got here, I was really upset because I was speaking during the women's rap, and I had an expectation of being there today. And then I found out that my grand sponsor, she's speaking, and then, you know, like, it was all about me for about 30 seconds, and I was upset. I'm like, man, I wanted to go to that meeting, but you know what? Like, I was meant to be here, and, like, that's what this is about, because I cannot control everything in my day, because when I run out and start running my own life, every single time I end up at the same place in pain. And I think that's all I got. Thank you.
Next, we're going to have our speakers from his home group, his Atmosphere of Recovery in Northern Pittsburgh. What part of Northern Pittsburgh?
North Pittsburgh area. It's in Shaler Township.
Shaler Township. Okay. Joe G.
Hi, everybody. My name's Joe Manatic. It's an honor to be here. I'm one of the people in the fellowship. I like to speak. I've always been a storyteller. I'm a people person. I like people, right? And I'm not one of the people that says, well, I know I'm going to get something out of this. I don't know. I want someone to get something out of this. I want to help somebody. I don't subscribe to, I'm here for me. You know, that's part of it, but that ain't the, that's not the story. I'm here for somebody that needs to hear what I have to say so they can get some hope and realize that they can survive their life to its natural conclusion. Because, see, on any given day when I'm in bad shape, my main problem is I'm alive. And I need to get through to the end of my life without A, committing suicide, which I'm very capable of, or B, getting high, which will lead to suicide, probably. I need to survive my life. And before I got here, well, let me back up. I've been clean since September 6th of 1984. I had 5.5 years of totally uninterrupted clean time. I was going to hang myself in my bedroom with a necktie. Okay? So when I started coming to meetings in March of 1990, March 9th of 1990, I don't get up for my clean day. I get up for my recovery day. I got 22 plus years in recovery and 27 plus years clean. And if I don't mess it up, I don't mess it up. In September, I'll have 28 years clean, but I'm very superstitious, knock on wood, whatever, because I don't know if I'm going to make it. I will tell you, my stated intention is to complete my life in a day at a time, get to the end of my life clean. Am I going to make that? I don't know. I got a really good shot at it based on the trajectory I'm on and you know what I've learned here. But I can tell you some stories about relapse, and not because of me, because I've worked with people that have relapsed. And my first sponsor, he helped me more than anybody in the program because he spoke my language. Meaning, I shared with him what was going on with me, and he shared back with me something that I could relate to. And I was like, he's like me. Because I've been to a lot of therapists. I got clean when I was 20. I went to therapy when I was 19, for real. And I went in there, and this therapist told me, I worked with her for a year. She said, you're one of the best clients I ever had. And I was like, why is that? She said, because it's obvious you want to get better. And when you leave here, you think about what we talked about. When you come back, you share about your insights, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, doesn't everybody do that? She's like, no. I was shocked. Why would somebody even go to therapy if they weren't for real? I've been a seeker on the path of wellness since I was 19. Like, really trying to find out what was wrong with me. How many people in this room asked themselves that question and really didn't know the answer? What's wrong with me? Like, why do I feel like this? Why do I hate my life? Why do I want to be dead? Why do I just want to be out of this life? I found that because I got a disease called addiction. And I got another disease called mental illness. So I'm dual diagnosed. And every single day of my life, I take Zoloft and Wellbutrin, and I get down on my knees when I think of it and thank God for that medication. And that's reality. I was talking to somebody before the meeting. I'll tell you this. I had 3 years clean. I started getting crackers. In the next 2 years and 3 months, I became an unrecognizable thing to myself because of my mental illness. Now, what came first, the chicken or the egg? When I was 15, I tried to kill myself because of my thought process. I couldn't take me. I couldn't stand living in my own skin. Not too long after that, thank God I found drugs. Because they saved my life. Because when I got high, all of this went away. And I knew I was okay. I felt okay, fine. And to me, I'm an addict not because of what I use. My drug of choice is marijuana. And if you want to talk about like a candy-coated addiction, I've come in here and I've heard stories that just like make my toes curl. Like, oh my God. What a horror your life was because of your addiction. Penitentiary, violence, prostitution, just things that I haven't had happen to me yet or I haven't done yet. Yet. See? Because all I got to do is get out. And I get to find out just how sick I can get. because I was saying earlier, I became this unrecognizable thing. I remember looking in the mirror saying, what happened to you? What happened to you? Where did you go left when you should have went right? What happened? And that was years clean. Years. Because I didn't know what was wrong with me. I'm an addict. And I got mental health issues. And I got high to make that stuff go away. It was funny. I showed up with 5.5 years clean. And people would be like, man, you got 5.5 years clean. Like, well, you know, what's the problem? I just got away from them people. Because they obviously didn't get it. This ain't just about getting high. I don't know about you, but I got high to feel okay. I got high so that, like, I could live in my own skin. That's what makes me an addict. It's not what I use. It's why I use. It was a coping mechanism. It made my life okay. I just want to be okay. I'll tell you what I've seen in 22 plus years of being in recovery. And 5 of those years I worked in a rehab. People that relapse. I honestly cannot look at you and say, if you relapse, or if you relapse, or if you relapse, or you relapse, or if he relapses, what will happen? I can't say you will disintegrate into prostitution. You will be in a penitentiary for life because you'll be in a blackout. You'll be so terrified, you'll kill somebody. And when you come out of it, you won't even know you did it. And your life will be irrevocably destroyed. I cannot tell you that. But I can tell you this. If you're an addict, and you use, it's going to be bad. You're going to suffer. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse until you lose your mind. You end up in some institution, be it a penitentiary or an asylum, or you're going to die. And I heard a guy say recently, he says, you know, some addicts have to, he says, I don't go for that line, some have to die for some to live. He says, because nobody has to die. I believe that. You're here now. If you work this program, if you do what you're told to do, despite don't want to do it, you won't die. You know what I want on my tombstone when I die clean? And there's a guy in this room who assured me, Joe, it will happen. Here lies a recovered addict. And he assured me this will happen too. If I kill myself, or if I get high and die high, I went on my tombstone, here lies a tragedy. Because a tragedy is something that doesn't have to happen. The Titanic was a tragedy because they didn't have enough boats. If they had enough boats like they should have, all those people could have gone on lifeboats and survived. I don't have to die from my addiction or this. And to me, they're so intimately related. I don't know what came first. You know, to me, addiction, part of addiction is a mental illness. How many times we talk about, like, we ain't right in the head. We think funny. What she said was, these fought running. What I heard was, Kitty ran up the tree. Like, you know, because our mental perception, you know, what we hear isn't reality based on the filter we have, which is this thing called addiction. And it makes us do things. Look, I'm not going to swear during this. We talked about that, and I'm working on it. And it's not necessary, but there's a particular term that when we use it, I know I'm in danger when I get the efforts. And I'll tell you why. Because, see, a normal person can get that attitude and not drive their car at 95 miles an hour in the driving rain and say, let's see what happens. I've done it clean in recovery. Normal people don't get that attitude and get high and die or go to jail. Look, it would be merciful for me to die if I start getting high. Please. Before I got here, I used to wish I would be murdered. I used to walk under the Bloomfield Bridge and look in this dump truck. It was this pickup truck with all this scrap in it. And there was this pipe. And I used to just say, I wish someone would just bash my head in and kill me from behind. Just kill me. Because I was in such unmitigated pain and torment. all the time. That was my life, 5.5 years clean. Because guess what I did? I hid my pain. I was ashamed to tell people that I had these crazy thoughts because I was ashamed. I didn't want to tell people, like, look, I'm obsessed with toxic waste. I go the wrong way. I walk up these alleys. I wash my hands compulsively. When I get out of the shower, I'm afraid to use a towel because what if it's on the towel? So I just stand there and, like, dry myself like this. Now, I mean, I wouldn't, and that was with years and years clean, because guess what? I figured something out. If you're an addict and you don't use for 5.5 years and you don't deal with nothing, your disease will manifest. Something's going to go haywire. It did for me, so this program works. My experience with watching relapsers is this. I worked in a rehab, right? Most people come in, and this is actually my life experience with this program as well. People come in and say, look, if you're an addict, bad things will happen if you keep using drugs. It's a disease, it's progressive. My first thing was disease. Cancer is a disease. You put it on a slide, you look at it, you can see the organism. Look it. I went to meetings, people would say, I beat my wife, I neglected my kids, I ruined the money, everything, whatever. And I think, look, just admit you're a scumbag and you want to turn your life around and get on with it. Now, that's when I got clean when I was 20 and didn't have a clue. That's what I really believed. It ain't a disease, it's a moral defect. 5.5 years later, I figured out, yeah, this is a disease, because, like, I became this thing. Every single internal landmark that told me who I was and what I was about was gone. I was just this. I didn't even recognize myself. Like, my inner being was so gone. It was so unbelievable. And I never used. It was just like the disease progressed. So most people show up, if you're an addict, bad things will happen if you use, it's a disease, yeah, whatever. So then people go back at it, they get beat up a little bit, and they start to say, okay, maybe there's something to that. They come back, I ain't ready to swallow the whole pill yet. They go back at it, and usually they get beaten into submission. Most people don't see the light, they feel the heat. I was a guy that saw the light. Like, I really saw the light when I was 20. Like, dude, you're an addict the way you use. You can never use and have a good life. I got clean. Bam. And guess what? I got clean because I said so. And I did. I quit in time. I quit when I decided this is bad. But guess what? Because of the progressive nature of my disease, if I use now, it won't be a matter of I'm ready to quit because I said so. My disease is 28, almost 28 years more powerful than it was when I got clean. And it's almost 23 years more powerful than how I was when I was ready to hang myself with 5.5 years clean. I have no illusions. I believe what people tell me here. When they say, if you use, your life will self-destruct. I believe it, because I've seen it. I don't question it. I don't wonder. The mystery's gone. If I use, I'm done. Oh, I might make it back. But, you know, my first sponsor told me, he said, you know, Joe, we actually get an inaccurate view of relapsers coming back. Because we see some people, they just keep coming back. They cycle through. But they make it back a couple of times. He says, but the vast majority, we don't see them again. So we get the idea, oh, I can just get high and come back like so-and-so. He said, please don't fall victim to that illusion. I told somebody, I said, if you want to stay clean for a year, I know how to do it. Seriously, based on my experience. Share the truth about what's going on inside of your gut and in your mind every single day for a year, and you'll stay clean. Every day. Brutally honest, right to the, like, to the exact nature. This is what's hurting me inside. You'll stay clean. I believe that. I don't think most people relapse because they quit going to meetings. I don't think most people relapse because they quit praying. I don't think most people relapse because they quit helping people. I think most people relapse because they don't tell the truth about their pain. But when the pain gets great enough, I assure you one thing will happen. I will get high or I will commit suicide. There's no illusion about that. When the pain's bad enough, that's how I'm going to act out. Because I will take care of it, left to my own devices. My first sponsor had 5.5 years clean. Said I was sponsoring a dozen guys. My relationship was crazy. I was in unbelievable pain. But I said, I can't tell anybody I'm sponsoring a dozen guys. What would they think? I got 5.5 years clean. I should deal with this. Said I dealt with it, Joe, like I dealt with everything. I got high. And this dude, the stuff he went through before this relapse, he was one of those make your toes curl. One of those guys like, if he can get this, I got a chance. Because I know all messed up. But good God, the stuff he went through. This dude 20 times more messed up than me. And you know what he told me? I used for 26 days. My kidneys failed. And those 26 days of using were more horrific than all the stuff I went through before. Those 26 days. I choose to believe that. I choose to believe that I could prostitute myself to another man if I get high. I haven't done that yet, but I've heard guys share about that in the program. What makes me so special I couldn't do it? Oh, I could never do that. How many nevers did I tell myself? I'll never do that. I'll never become like that. I'll never become a suicidal nutcase that doesn't even recognize himself anymore. But guess what I did? So see, I know better. The lie's dead. I'm capable. You know why I'm capable? Because this disease will make me sick enough to do it. Sick enough to do it. Not because I want to. Not because it's what I desire. How many people here, myself included, did things they did not desire to do but needed to do them because if they didn't do them, they just knew they couldn't be okay? I've seen people relapse. I've seen people come back. And I can guarantee you this, for real. I'm going to stop with this. I went to my first convention in 1990 in Pittsburgh. I was scared. I had about 8 months in recovery. My life was improving, but I was still like, is this going to be violently torn from me? Is this going to quit working? I was scared. I was really scared because, like, I knew this was it. Like, if this didn't work, it was the noose. Because I needed out. I had to get out. The pain had to stop. And I don't know about you, but I do have a breaking point and a point of human endurance. And I crossed that. And I can't live there. I cannot be in that much agony and take it. I will deal with it. And after that 5.5 years clean, I got so bad, I was ready to get high again. I made the decision, I'm getting high. I got to find someone that sells reefer. I was out of the game so long, I didn't have any contacts. But I made the conscious decision, it's time to medicate. Maybe I'll buy myself 6 months, a couple more years. But so what happens is, I just did this program. I called my brother up. I said, Pat, this is what's going on with me. I'm going to kill myself. I don't get substantial relief. Nah. And I told him what I was thinking and stuff, and he started laughing. And I took the phone and I went like this. And he said, Joe, you sound like an obsessive compulsive addict that needs a meeting. I said, Pat, I've been clean longer than you. You got 3 years, I got 5.5. He said, it ain't just about using, dude. It ain't. It is not just about using. It's about this, what's in here. And for me, a very strange phenomenon takes place. The more I need to share something, the less I want to share it if it's based in shame. And most of the stuff, I got like sexual hang-ups from being a kid and being molested and just like all this codependent crap going on. So if it's anything in sexual nature, I just don't want to share it because I feel freaked out about myself. I feel messed up about it. And I swear to God, those are the things I really need to share the most. You know? Tell the truth, shame the devil, whatever that is. I ain't going to agenda on that. But there's bad things around me, whatever. The wonderful thing about this is you can get this. You're here. You don't ever have to leave again. You don't ever have to be degraded by this disease again. But there is a price. And the price is the work an individual puts into it. I busted my butt so hard to get this program. I mean, I chased it like a rabid dog. And I did because I was so desperate. Like, I knew this is it. I was so messed up. This guy got it for 5 years. I almost busted out crying. It was my first week in a program because I knew I wasn't going to be alive in 5 years. You kid, I can't take it. I just can't take it. And I just hoped it would work. My brother said, do what I did, Joe, when I called him. He said, do everything they say for 90 days. And then when it doesn't work, kill yourself. And I did everything they said to the best of my ability. And that jumped out at me in the literature repeatedly, to the best of our ability, to the best of our ability, to the best of our ability, to the best of our ability. And I chased this, and it's 22 plus years later, and guess what? I got peace of mind. I wanted a more, despite the fact of all my difficulties, I'm stable. I'm happy. I've been a Pittsburgh school teacher for 13 years. I gave that gig up. I couldn't take it no more because of this. But I packed it in. I had a career. When I got to this program, you know what I used to say to people? And I meant it. I said, if I don't commit suicide, I will have had a totally successful life. That was the bar for me. Just not kill myself. That and if I made that, in my opinion, I had a totally successful life, even if I never have a relationship, even if I never have a job again, even if all that stuff that I wanted didn't happen, just so I didn't kill myself. That's how messed up I was. It's different now. I did everything that was suggested here. It's hard. There's been times it's been really bad. And I said I was going to stop before, but I'm really passionate about this. I don't believe anybody has to die from this disease. I know some people do. I understand that. I understand that I could. I'm not out of the woods. I called my sponsor once. I was really mad. I was really mad. This was my first 2 years in the program. I was living with my parents. And I said to him, I said, Steve, aren't you ever tired? Like, you got to go to these meetings the rest of your life. And for about 3 or 4 minutes, he just let me vent. I just went, ah, 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 ah. And the final thing I said to him was, aren't you tired of never being out of the woods? And he's like, Joe, recovery's about learning how to live in the woods. That's powerful to me. It is. Look, I need to be okay. I've had so much therapy. I had 5 years of therapy before I was 26. I don't have any secrets. I pull every single thing that goes on with me. Everything. Nothing ever worked, really worked, and gave me what I got until I got here and found out that I was nuts there. And I had a diagnosis. They said, you're a good case when I showed up for 5.5 years at the psych hospital, because we know it's not the drug that's making you loopy, dude. Or they were more professional. They said, we know it's not the drugs that you took that are causing you mental disturbance, because, like, a lot of people show up, they use so much drugs they can't tell, are you mentally ill or are you just crazy because of the drugs? They said, you're crazy because you're crazy. And, you know, I wouldn't take drugs. Oh, I ain't going to take Prozac because, man, I'm clean. That's it. I finally got bad enough that I took it. And the guy sitting right here, the first day I took it, I was scared. And guess what I did? I told the truth. I said, will you please hang out with me today? Because I'm scared. I got to take drugs. I was really scared. I had to take something. He came down. He drove down from where he lived. He picked me up. We went to Ohio Powell for the day. And the most miraculous thing happened as we were driving up to Ohio Powell. I got like maybe a 1-2 minute flash of serenity. And I knew it was a medication because, see, I need medication. In 2009, I started the school year. My mental health was pristine. It was the best it ever was. This was in 2009. By February, the day Obama was being inaugurated, I was sitting in Western Psychiatric Institute and Clinic getting admitted because I was going to go down the river, face away from the river, so I wouldn't leave a big mess and blow the back of my head off with my glove. My medication quit working after 15 years. And I was devastated. I'll tell you this, I quit coming to meetings for over a year because I was so mad at God. How could this happen to me? Why? I worked so hard. But guess where I ended up again, despite being all mad and having to have a temper tantrum for a year and a half and work all that out? I'm back where the juice is. I need to be here. And they don't need me. It went on all that time I wasn't here. I need NA. I need you. I need to be cared for. I need to be looked out for. I need to care for other people. I need to see people as human beings. I need to be kind. I need to work the steps. And I need a higher power that I choose to call God to just please help me today. Help me do something good. I really will quit with this. I was sitting at a meeting one day. And I was talking about sermon, but I was sitting in a meeting and this lady was sharing, and it had nothing to do with what she was speaking. It just came to me. It was like, I want to be an ally to the good in the world. That's my goal. If I get high, I can't do that. I'm staying clean today. And God help me. I hope I make it to the natural conclusion of my life. Because I don't want to go out like that. I don't want to die high or by my own hand. God, please save me from myself. Thank you. Thank you.